you would not let the enemy come in and deceive us. Father, we know that you use him to tempt us, to test us, that we would stand firm. But Lord, that he would not prevail, that we would hear the information clearly, that is, even as we continue to appeal to you now, as we go to your word, Lord, that by your Spirit, ministering through your word for your purpose, you would speak to every heart here. Lord, that you would first knit us even more solidly, more closely with you. And for everyone who agrees, everyone amens, Lord, the fruit of that is that we are knit more to one another and all those who would walk the same way. Have your way for your purposes. Father, speak to us. And I thank you so much for what you have already said. We ask your will be done for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, if you will, open your Bible to Psalm 133. Very, very familiar passage to everyone, most likely. But in this portion, biblically, I just want to share with you, and this won't be the standard teaching length, that as I said earlier, putting that question before the Lord, as I met with Dan and Bob in our elders' meetings, is there any biblical reference, and is there anything that we should be looking at? Because, and let me be honest, I'm not seeing it. You know, it's like, I've just, you know, all this problem, I've got enough to do with what the Lord has called me here. I don't really need to be worried about that either. Let's just stay focused on Jesus and sever the ties. That was my thinking, but in all of that, and that's great as long as it's what the Lord is directing. In all of that, it's like, okay, I don't want to be hasty. We've got to hear from the Lord here. We're praying. Something else that we're going to look at here now. Psalm 133, a song of ascents of David, the subheading. Behold, look, you know, when the Lord says behold, he's drawing our attention to something. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then the Lord compares this to all of these pictures. It's like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And the more I look at this and pray about this, the more it was just so consistent with what the Lord is saying. In the first verse, behold, look at this. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Considering the relationship of us, not within the church, I think we're really clear on that. It's not deniable, but an extra-biblical relationship in some formal sense, affiliation, movement, whatever you want to call it, it's hard to define. We're identifying ourselves in a way with somebody else, and specifically other fellowships, other churches. Okay, Lord, is that what you mean? Is this just meant to be confined to just within us? Two things I want to look at. First one, how good it is. And secondly, where we'll finish up, how pleasant it is. Now, from this, you know, we get these word pictures. He said, when we understand it, it is like, it isn't, but these are the examples given to us. It's like precious oil upon the head, and we always have to find out what's the Lord communicating to us, because most of us don't anoint our heads with oil. And especially running down on the beard, the head of Aaron. I've always wondered how the sisters related to that one. You know, it's like oil dripping down my beard. And not that women can't have a beard, but even if you do, none of us are going to tell you. It's like, oh, how are you going to relate to that? We relate to that because we know what the Lord is talking about. He said, it's like, you know, when it happened to Aaron, that anointing, God's presence, a physical symbol that identified Aaron was God's choice for that ministry. How good it is to be recognized by the Lord Himself for His purpose. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, we can identify that. The Lord chose me for something of His. There is nothing more good or pleasant than that. And then, of course, followed up, it's like the dew of Hermon, God's provision in the morning, Mount Hermon, the Mount of Oath there, the north of Israel. Descending upon the mountains of Zion, always a positive thing. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So somehow we see God's confirmation of His identification with a purpose for His purpose, the ministry that He's called you to, because all Christians are called. He said something about this unity of the brethren. He said, it's like that. It's just like when God says, you, I've picked you for my purpose, and you know it's Him, and it's just like, this is overwhelming, no matter what it is that the Lord has called us to. He said, so somehow when we're together in the way that the Lord ordains, it's good like that, and it's pleasant like that. And then like the dew of Hermon, all this tremendously biblical picture, but I want to jump to the end of it. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Eternal life is bound up in fellowship with brethren who walk together in unity. So I'm just focusing on that. I believe we're not reading anything in or pulling anything out other than what is there. So I want to understand that. How good and how pleasant. First part, just kind of remember biblically how good it is. We have just looked at the first part of Genesis recently, and we should remember from the very beginning the Lord identifies Himself by His name, which is His nature or His character. And there's three in one. There's nobody like the Lord, right? The triunity of God. But the very picture of God is community in one agreement. Achad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one. The word for one is Achad. It's a compound unity. We're three, but we're all together in one. You can't distinguish them. So even in the picture of the Lord, well, there is that kind of compound unity involved. But then the Lord goes on to make us, our first forefather, Adam. And as He makes Adam, and He brings all the animals behind Him, and He teaches Adam before Him, and He teaches Adam this lesson, that, wow, there was not found a mate suitable for Adam. And the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. So He made a helper comparable. Eve, right? Not just one Adam. That's just me by myself and the Lord. That's essential. But all of a sudden, there was another one. And then of these two, mankind, He gave the first command, which was, be fruitful and don't make any more. No, more. And you know the Lord, from the very beginning, wanted all of us to be in relationship with Him, His way, and that puts us in a relationship with one another, His plan from the very beginning. And you know that it became corrupted. So we see this as we go through Scripture, the plan from the beginning, and as it goes through, it wasn't the one tribe of Israel, it was the 12 tribes of Israel. There's always a unity, and His promise to Abraham, your descendants shall be as the sands of the seashore, uncountable, numerous. That's what the Lord wants. And He wants, of course, all of us following after to His plan. It's not what He's getting, but it's what He's desiring. And as we go through Scripture, we see, something else. How good. And I would say from Psalm 133, as we talk about unity amongst believers, it is good because it's right. It's God's plan from the beginning, consistently through Scripture. Jesus doesn't pick one disciple, right? And at Pentecost, the Spirit doesn't fall on one person, and the church wasn't decreased daily. The Lord just keeps expanding this thing, and then all of the New Testament is all about guidance for us walking together the same way. So how good it is. I don't think I gave anybody any new information there. But if we put a very specific focus on it and ask this question, what about relationships between churches? There's no word affiliation that I'm aware of in the original Greek or Aramaic in Scripture. But what about a relationship, an association, a recognized relationship, it's the only word I have that I can use, between fellowships. Is that in Scripture? And prayerfully at this time, as I went through first the process and the conference, and then it's like, oh my goodness, I felt so ashamed. How could I ever have asked that? Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, please. We'll just turn to two places, but with that bit of prompting, I think it'll give you enough information to kind of know where to look. In the book of Colossians, I'm going to jump right in the, well, not right in the middle. Jump partway in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. We're told, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. What does that tell us? That tells us by nature of our relationship with the Lord and others who are also believers, there is a distinction being made. There are unbelievers and believers. The unbelievers are those who are outside the faith. Back in the psalm that we just looked at, how good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. You know we're not going to have unity with everybody. And you should also remember at this point that Satan is using that to great effect to minimize what calls itself the church. Hey, you need to lighten up on the things that are necessary, God and Him first, and no compromise, in order that you get along with everybody else. Jesus said you're not going to get along with everybody else. I guarantee you, I'm going to split up families, this thing called the gospel. Does He want that? No, but He tells us it's going to happen. And I'm personally very thankful for that, because when it does happen, you think, what am I doing wrong? Very often the indication that you're doing something right. So when we see this here in Colossians, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Right? Make the most value of the time. And we're given some practical exhortation. Let your speech, the things you say, always be grace. Always be the working of God. Don't say anything unless you know that it's serving the Lord. How about that as part of the application there? Seasoned with salt, of course, a preservative, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. If I'm not checking in with the Lord and I don't have His leading, I don't know how I'm supposed to answer everybody. And something I found quite often is, oftentimes, I'm silent because there's nothing I'm going to be able to say to this person because they're not looking. But then it goes on to a main point here. It names all these people with funny names that you're very thankful your parents didn't name you this when they had you. Tychicus, a beloved brother. Well, we don't know who Tychicus is, but the church in Colossae did. He's identified as an individual. Notice that first. Point it out. It's as though the Lord has identified him specifically for His purpose. I'm just thinking Tychicus is going, oh, I can't believe the Lord wrote that for all eternity. That would be like oil on Aaron's beard sort of thing. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Paul, of course, writing the letter. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. So here it seems, and let's be careful, it's at least possible, Tychicus from a different area, different fellowship, is now going to minister to another. And he's just an individual, but we see some interaction going on. I'm sending him to you for the very purpose, again, verse 8, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Please notice the word comfort. How good and how pleasant it is when brethren in or out of the same fellowship are working together according to God's purpose. And Tychicus wasn't alone, or there wouldn't be unity in fellowship here. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who's one of you, one from that local fellowship in Colossae. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Specific things that they needed to know. It wasn't chapter and verse, but it applied to them at that season in their location. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. All these people, we're all important to the Lord. Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. Hey, just as an aside, when you get the study guide, if and as you pray and you prepare for next Sunday, Jesus, there were some other people named Jesus. What was special about the name Jesus that we pray in the name of? That's my plug for next Sunday. Let's move on. Jesus, who's called justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They've proven to be a comfort to me. Hey, they used to be Jewish people. They put their faith in Christ, and now they're one with us, united in Christ. Different areas, different churches most likely. Now we're working together with a commendation from the Lord. Man, that's good, and that's, well, pleasant, which we'll get to. Epaphras, who's one of you, a bondservant of Christ. I'm just going to read through this now. I think you got the tone of it. I want to bring out one more point. Epaphras, who's one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you. And those who are in, notice this, Laodicea, I know that brings some things to your mind. I've heard some things about that church. And those in Hierapolis, which was another community not far from Laodicea, where there was another church. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea. Now those brethren are in the church of Laodicea. And Nymphas and the church that is in his house. Do you see some kind of relationship? I don't think we could say formal affiliation outside the bond of the Spirit of Christ, but there's definitely formal recognition in the Scripture of God. Hey, these are brethren that are of the same mind. We're walking together. You need to take note of them. And the Lord is doing it Himself in Scripture. Now look at verse 16. Now when this epistle, this letter, the letter to the church in Colossae, by the way, we know it as Colossians, but that's what it was. It was a letter given by God through the Apostle Paul first to the church in Colossae. And the Lord says, now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle or letter from Laodicea. And I'll hold up there. Somehow there was a relationship that was recognized by the Lord of faithful brethren with information that needed to go back and forth. Again, the word affiliation is not used there, and it's certainly not a denomination. It's the Christian faith as it was from the beginning. Something that Calvary had always held up as, this is what we take as the model for our movement. And again, the same word is not always used. What does it mean if you call yourself Calvary? It means that we believe just like they believed. That's the purest form of that. That's what those who are in agreement seem to focus on. Interesting to me, we're not doing anything different when we read from this passage than they were. Hey, you guys read this letter and then give it to the other church. But you know, I know some things came to mind. Please turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Because you know that there's another group of letters written by, well, authored by the Lord Jesus Himself, given to the Apostle John. He was to write it, and then, well, he was to give it to somebody. In Revelation, I know you're in chapter 2, you might not be far from verse 19 of chapter 1. Jesus tells John, write the things which you've seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Right? And then in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, to the angel, the messenger of the church of Ephesus. And you know how it goes. There's seven churches there. Seven churches, seven different letters. And if you've done a little bit of back study, you understand, hey, we think these are circular letters. That the church that went to Ephesus didn't just go to Ephesus and stay there. You should know that because you're looking at it here this morning. But that was the Lord's intention from the very beginning. How can we know that? Because every one of the seven letters includes in its closing, look at verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do your word study, please, but you'll find it's not singular. It's plural. Now think of the big picture in this. And I'll make it personal. Oh man, I'm calling myself by this association because everything the Lord has done, He's blessed me. First, He's led me to this. And now I'm asking, Lord, are You leading me out of this? Because there's some things happening with this group that I'm identified with. And, oh God, I don't want to be the guy who brings shame to Your name. And I don't want to be associated with anybody else who is. I don't know that we have a choice in that matter. Every letter concludes with what we have just read. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And those seven letters, you know, there's five who stepped in it really bad. They received correction, biblical word. They were corrected. They were doing the wrong thing. There's two churches that were commended. Now, they all had things that were commendable to them. There's only two churches that didn't get the rebuke. The church of Philadelphia and the church of Smyrna. The church that had a little strength and the church that was being persecuted. But all those churches were supposed to hear about what was going on in the other churches. They were related by the fact that they were sons and daughters of God, independent fellowships. But I would just suggest that the Lord indicates, hey, there was some other relationship amongst the churches that are truly His and seek to walk according to His name. Truly His? Oh, come on, have you not read the letter to the church in Laodicea? Well, look what Jesus says at the beginning. He calls them His church. He's knocking at the door of that church. He wants in to that church. And we know of all the things that the Lord teaches us when we read through this, we're still doing the same thing from this affiliation of churches. So, the biblical thing, what I believe, the takeaway, what the Lord was saying to me, but here's the thing, the church is our church is us, those who are here and those who will come in, that we're walking together in the unity of the Spirit. We need to be in agreement first with the Lord. And when we seek that, well, we will be walking in unity with one another. I believe what the Lord showed me, and I'm not going to presume to speak for Marty. I just want to be faithful to relay this to you. As I looked and saw him direct, as I had my questions answered, as I joined together with brothers and sisters, I said, no, I don't want to do anything else. I'm like, well, exactly. Exactly. This is the kind of people that I need to be with right here. And the elders will know this, and I tell people, it's like, man, well, my hope is that for elders, I want to be surrounded people with people who are more godly than I am and love the Lord more than I do, because that is such a help for me. I really want that, and I know that that's what the Lord is working all of us towards. There's one destination. We're all in the Lord's plan. But I recognized that early. I need to be by those kinds of people. I need to be in fellowship amongst that group. I threw you a curve, Sri. I did put a scripture on there. We'll put it on the screen. Proverbs 13:20 says this. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. That is the premier verse, as an aside in my mind, that talks about the dangers of segregating kids in different ministries. When you put all the age groups together in one size, if foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child and you put them all together, what do you got? Now, one of my concerns even, and I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just hoping to state clearly, when the kids branch off to go someplace else, the Lord tells me, hey, there's at least a concern. Are they breaking away by themselves for more prayer and Bible study? Because if not that, or God-centered fellowship, they're probably getting together for something that's not ultimately good. And I know that because I was one. In a sense, I can still be one. I'm either getting together with people who are going to be an encouragement to me. This is where we transition from how good I believe this is God's plan to how pleasant it is. Now, I understand that the Lord, in my part of the body of Christ, has called me to be a pastor. It's literally a shepherd. Okay, so I'm supposed to be a Christ-like example. That's the word. And that's a very humbling thing in itself. But I've also realized this, and this was something that also came from the conference. As a shepherd, well, I'm just an under-shepherd. There's only one shepherd, the chief shepherd, the head of the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as an under-shepherd, I'm also a sheep in that respect. And you know how the example works. When does a sheep get picked off? When he's in the midst of a good and healthy flock, overwatched by a good shepherd? Not so much. When he's off by himself. Now, there are times when all of us as disciples, I'm going to use the example of sheep because we all fit in, Jesus used it, when we do separate from to be just alone with the Lord, But here's the problem. If I'm away from you or like-minded brothers and sisters, and it's not for the purpose that I'm one-on-one with Jesus, that's when it comes in. Be honest with yourself. When does the time to yield to temptations happen? In the middle of this group, are you performing any sin that you might be struggling with right now? Most likely not. And neither am I. But there was another quote from a brother who went before us who said, I recognize this. When I get off this platform, I'm capable of performing any sin of any time. And I'm a whole lot less likely to do it when I'm in your company. There are exceptions. If I give myself over to the flesh and I start talking about something that's not helpful, lawful, yes, Christ died for my sins, but something that's not helpful, and instead of you loving me enough to say, hey, Todd, could we shift the conversation back to something that edifies? You know, well, that's the bad power of a group, isn't it? But on the contrary, and what happens is, when we're together, it's like, no, I think we really need to go this way. Thank you, Lord. It's easy to do bad in a group, but it's also easy to do good in a group. How good it is, but how pleasant it is. I was encouraged in the same way that I'm encouraged when I'm with my brothers and sisters here. I look forward to our times together. I mean, I have things that I have to do. It's my privilege, but I look forward to these times. It's not like, oh, when's this over so I can get away? There's other intrusions that will take me away, but I it's good. It's not just safe. It is that, but it's pleasant for me too. Man, when we came through the doors Wednesday night, it was, you know, it's like, okay, we're coming back from the conference and we got all these things to share. And I come in and it's like, it was already going on. And I felt like, I'm missing out. I missed half of this, man, whatever the Lord was doing. And that's the way it is when it's working the Lord's way. How pleasant. Let me just share something with you. I got a text this morning. First one from a brother. It's one of the brothers who, you know, use the word overseer. They don't like that word. What they look at it, the men who do the local overreach, they look at his foot washing ministry. Hey, here's an opportunity for us to increase our ministry. That, by the way, is a fruit of our association or fellowship. We can also be an encouragement. We can be one of those places, right? If you're identifying yourself by a name that's glorifying to the Lord, that should mean, hey, as Dave put it best, I'm going to use his quote again. He said, you know, in the past, Calvary Chapel used to mean safe. You could travel anywhere and say, Calvary Chapel, I know they're going to be teaching the Word. And that needs to continue. And I've heard from them that's exactly their focus. And if and as that shouldn't happen, it's their desire to be on top of that. But anyway, I got this text from a brother this morning before I came in. Good morning, brothers. Let's remember today that we are nothing special but greatly loved by our Master. That we don't have much talent, but we're greatly gifted by our Savior. That in ourselves we have nothing to offer, but oh, do we have a message from the King of Kings. Let's trust in Him for all that's in front of us today. It's such an honor to serve next to you this day. I love you guys. Thank you for your example to me. Well, that was a real bummer to get that, let me tell you, this morning. Oh my goodness, this guy just, hey, I love you, man, I want to encourage you. What a completely underused opportunity, perhaps, in our Christian experience to be that with one another. I trust that you have had the same experiences. I've been hearing it, as I said at the beginning. Man, I love coming to this particular thing because we're just getting closer to one another. These people actually care about me. They're really praying for me. Because you know it can work that way. Pray, yeah, bro, praying for you. Did I really? That's why I like to pray right away, not just in addition to when the Lord brings it up. So I make sure that people get prayed for. It's like, wow, people who really do things for one another as you do. You don't get any of the credit, by the way. It's the Lord through you. You know that. But what you also know, there is a joy in being involved in this interaction among brothers and sisters that you cannot get anywhere else. Speaking with Bob before service, we're talking about, hey, you know, all of these teachings from this particular conference, they're online, and as the Lord leads you, give them a watch, or don't watch them as the Lord leads you. And I mentioned that to Bobby. I said, yeah, but it's a poor substitute for being together, one and another. I think it's different than in praise, seeing a concert and being in the midst of the group singing the Lord's praises. It's what the Lord designed. Hey, make no mistake, Satan is using this effectively. Oh, you know, I just home church, which is me, and I watch this guy on TV or the internet, and I'm thankful that we can record our teachings, and it's something I've been praying about, but I don't want to enable anybody to miss out on what can only happen here. That special relationship, that the Lord being in our midst and blessing us when we're coming together in accord seeking Him. I'm not saying those things are bad, but I'm going to agree with my brother. They're a poor substitute for us being together. And it's one of the ways that Satan really works this. And I know you've experienced that. The times when I feel like coming here the least is when I know I need to do it the most. And so I went through that on a little bit of a bigger scale, but then I trust that the Lord worked it out in me. I'm very thankful. Let me summarize and make a point. It's always a good idea to have a point when you tell a story. I believe for the relationship of Calvary Chapel at this season, as Calvary walks this direction, it is the Lord's will for me to be the part of it that He has for me. And part of that is the relationship. I believe that if and as the Lord tarries, and I can't possibly see it going on longer, but the Lord knows that it is going to be even more important for us to be together as a fellowship if we're going to continue to walk in safety and encouragement with one another. So I want to ask you as we conclude in prayer, before we stand in praise, please continue to pray. What I think or feel and I say is of little value to you if it's not the Lord's message through me and it is not confirmed by Him. Not your desires, but His word to you. So I want to encourage you to continue to pray. And above all things, brothers and sisters, we have to be where the Lord has us to be in that season, in the moment. That's the only thing that's going to matter, and all focus has to be on Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for this time with You, in fellowship with You. Lord, but when we're together, we're in fellowship with one another. Father, I want to lift up all the men and women that You have called here, those You will call here, Lord, to ask for Your blessing, Your direction. Lord, that You would continue to shepherd us. Guide us only the place where You would go. Lord, keep us safe from the enemy who is on the outside, who is ever present, Lord. Help us to know the fullness of the joy and the life and the relationship that You've called us out for and that You've appointed us for at this time. Father, only to the end that You're pleased, that You're honored, that we're useful to You to represent You as You really are. Not as we think, but as You really are, as You reveal Yourself more and more continually to those who are outside. Father, they've seen so much done in Your name that has nothing to do with You. We just simply ask, Lord, as we've been asking, Father, continue Your work to make us the bride that You want to present to Your Son. Lord, use us to bear all the fruit for which You've chosen us and appointed us. Father, glorify Yourself through us to the world around us. Lord, vindicate Yourself to the heavenly host that You have told us watches in on these things. Father, empower us now to sing Your praises with pure hearts. We do ask, we thank You for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.